Amen. We're going to have our ushers come. They're going to wait up on us real quick as we sing that chorus one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship team may go down. Amen. As we turn to the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. If you got your Bibles, you stand with me in honor of the word of the Lord. We're going to be turning to the book of St. John, the fourth chapter. I want to continue on this series tonight. Life is good. We'll be in the book of St. John, the fourth chapter. We'll be reading verse 1 through 10. Before we begin to read the word of the Lord, can we give the Lord one more hand clap of praise for our visitors tonight? Amen. We're so thrilled to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. On this chilly October evening. Amen. We believe it's about to heat up in the house of God. Amen. How many is believing the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. I'm believing the word of the Lord tonight. The book of St. John, the fourth chapter, we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did all the baptizing, he left Judea and he departed again into Galilee." And then the fourth verse says, "And he must needs go through Samaria." He needed to go through Samaria. The fifth verse says, "Then cometh the Lord to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat on the side of Jacob's well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman, a Samaritan woman, there to draw water. And Jesus said unto her," he said, "give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman in response, the woman of Samaria, unto the Lord Jesus, she said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." The 10th verse, where I want to spend a few moments this blessed evening. The 10th verse says, "Jesus answered and said unto the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that thou sayest to thee, give me to drink, my God, thou wouldest asked of him and he would have given thee living water." Hallelujah. I want to continue on this series, Life is Good, tonight. I want to speak to you, part 3, finding balance in the Lord. Finding balance in the Lord. Could we clap our hands in praise unto the Lord tonight? Amen. As we pray a blessing upon the reading of his word. How many is thankful for the word of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise all over this house tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated for a few moments. Amen. While Jesus spent a lot of time teaching and preaching to masses and multitudes of people, we also read in the scriptures that he spent a lot of time teaching people one-on-one. Amen. He spent a lot of time discipling people, creating disciples one-on-one. The fourth chapter of the book of St. John, the apostle gives us a front row seat to one of those conversations between the Lord and a woman of Samaria. And the place that they are having this conversation is at Jacob's well. The Bible says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. The reason why Jesus needed to go through Samaria, Mother Peg, is because he had a divine appointment. It wasn't because he wanted to upset some people that didn't like him. It wasn't because he wanted a better view. It was because he had a divine appointment with a lost woman who needed salvation. How many is glad that the Lord went out of his way one day when you were somewheres lost? How many is glad the Lord went out of his way one day when you were somewhere broken and confused? How many is glad the Lord went out of his way to come right where you were at? You didn't know where he was at, but he came right where you were at. And this is the divine appointment that he had with this woman at the well, at Jacob's well. And the apostle invites us right into this conversation between the Lord and this Samaritan woman. The apostle makes it a point to let us know that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. In fact, he goes on to tell us that the disciples of the Lord marveled, Sister Melissa, that Jesus would even speak to the woman at the well. Not just strangers, his own disciples were marveling that the Lord would even take the time to converse with this Samaritan woman. Not only was she a Samaritan, she was a Samaritan living an immoral lifestyle. But let me tell you something today, Jesus loved her. Jesus loved her and Jesus loves you today. Come on, she wasn't just someone who had contention with the Jewish people, the children of Israel. She was a lost Samaritan woman, a woman that was living in sin, a woman that was broken, a woman that was tore up, a woman that had many mistakes under her belt, but the Lord loved her. But the Lord loved her. Can I get an amen tonight? The Lord loved her right where she was at. Let me tell you something, it was customary that a Hebrew man would not speak to women in public, but with one simple request, give me to drink. With one simple request, Jesus tore down the barrier. Jesus tore down the barrier. Somebody didn't hear what I said tonight. Jesus tore down the barrier that kept this woman from having a relationship with God himself. When he looked at her and he said, give me to drink, the walls came down. And she realized, my God, this man is speaking to me in public and I'm a Samaritan and he's a Jew. What is wrong with this man? The walls came tumbling down. Amen. And here the walls that were providing a barrier, keeping her from relationship with God. She didn't even know, but God himself had a divine appointment with her that day. The Lord had gone out of his way to come right where she was at. She was amazed. She was amazed that the Lord would even talk to her. Once he begins to talk to her, he begins to reveal to her. He begins to speak with her. He begins to converse with her. He begins to reveal the details of her life. Can I tell you today, the Lord knows your life better than you do. What's done in the dark's going to come out in the light. He knows your innermost parts. He knows what's hid in the cracks and the crevices. He knows your life. He knows your life better than you do. He knows what you need better than you do. He knows the road that he has for you better than you do. He knows the thoughts that you think before you think them. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows what's waiting on you tomorrow, and he's orchestrating before you ever get there. The Lord knows your life better than you do. Hallelujah. And this woman is amazed as the Lord begins to just reveal her life to her. And he's tearing down these walls that are preventing her from having a relationship with God. She's amazed that the Lord is taking the time to speak with her. And then he begins to reveal the details of her life. And very quickly she realizes that he's a prophet, Brother Paul. Very quickly she realizes there's no way this man would know. He's not even from this area. This man doesn't know me from Adam. He doesn't know anything about me. Brother Joe, the only way he would know is if God told him. This man must surely be a prophet. And very quickly she realizes that the Lord was a prophet. And she points, but he's more than a prophet. Come on, he's more than a prophet. He's more than a man today. Come on, he's more today. And very quickly she realizes that there's something particular, there's something specific, there's something more about this man that she's conversing with at Jacob's well. She points out the religious differences between the Samaritans and the Jews. How many know that people love to point out our differences today? Come on, if we're talking about politics, man, that's the first thing people want to start to point out our differences. If we're talking about neighborhoods, we're talking about communities, we're talking about towns, the first people love to find indifference. People love to find indifference. And this woman, right, immediately begins to go to the negative because that's what's sown in the fabric of our being is the negative. So immediately she begins to point out and she begins to say all of these religious differences between the Samaritans and the Jews. She begins to tell the Lord, she says, the Jews say that our fathers worshiped in this mountain, but ye say that we should worship in Jerusalem. Jesus totally avoids this conflict with her. And he goes straight to the heart of the matter. And he goes straight to where she's at. And he starts telling her. He avoids the whole conflict. And he says, the most important thing is that you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Come on, it ain't about the mountain. It ain't about Jerusalem. It's about having the Lord in your life. It's about being in relationship with Him. It's about finding balance in your walk with God. It's about being close to Him. And your life can be good today if we can just find balance in the Lord. And he begins to tell her that it's not about the mountain. It's not about worshiping in Jerusalem. It's about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. He avoided that conflict. Amen. How many know you got to have a balance today of spirit and of truth? You got to find balance. We're talking about our life being good tonight. The only way your life is ever going to be as good as it possibly can be is if you learn to find balance, because a false balance, Brother Jason, is an abomination to the Lord. We got to have balance in our life tonight. We got to have balance between spirit and between truth. You can't have truth without spirit. You can have the letter, but you got to have the spirit to go with the truth. You can't have spirit without truth. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. How many know it's always easier to go to the right or to the left? One of the reasons why we don't have bipartisanship anymore is because it's so much easier to go hard left or hard right. Huh? It's always easier to just go with the flow, Sister Ange. It's never easy to find balance. It's always harder to find balance in your life. It's always easier to go to the left or to go to the right. But finding balance can sometimes be difficult. But we got to find balance in the Lord tonight. We got to find balance in the Lord tonight. Come on, the same Bible that teaches you that God looks on the heart also teaches you that man looks on the outside of the person that's serving God. Why? Because we got to find balance in the Lord. This ain't just about what's going on in the heart. This is about inward submission, reflecting on the outside. So you got outward submission also. Why? Because we got to find balance in the Lord. The same Bible that teaches you that holiness starts on the inside also teaches you that holiness must reflect on the outside. Huh? It's got to reflect on the outside. The same Bible that teaches us that we're saved by faith also teaches us that faith without works is dead. So yes, we got to have faith in God, but we got to be moved by God. We got to allow God to use us. Faith without works is dead. So we got to find balance in the Lord tonight. The same Bible that teaches us that God is a God of love also teaches us that He's a jealous God and He won't give His glory to another. God's not going to allow you to steal His glory tonight. He's a jealous God. We got to have balance tonight. in the Lord. How many know God's truth is a defensive weapon, but God's Spirit is an offensive weapon? The Spirit of God allows us to advance against our enemy. The truth of God defends us. The truth of God gives us a place to stand and to stand strong. But the Spirit of God compels us. The Spirit of God moves us someplace. And that's why you can't just have the letter. The Bible says that the letter killeth, but the Spirit of God maketh alive. You can't just have the truth today. It ain't going to just take the truth to make you free. We're going to find out in just a few moments. It takes some other stuff to go with the truth. You got to have balance, and you got to have the Spirit of the Lord mixed with that truth today. You got to have balance in the Lord. God's truth, the truth of God's word, is a defensive weapon. Come on, it's a shield. It's a shield. Amen. God's Spirit is an offensive weapon. Psalms 91 tells us that His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Ephesians 6 tells us to stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, protected by the truth. Can I tell you today, but God's Spirit empowers you to move forward. God's Spirit empowers you to advance against the enemy. Isaiah 61 and 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bind. Zechariah tells us that it's not by might, it's not by power, but he said it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You can't do this on your own. You can't do this without being led by the Spirit of the living God. You got to have some balance in your life today. You got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit today. Hallelujah. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And Isaiah 59 and 19 tells us that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard, Brother Caleb, against him. Come on. Come on. When things ain't looking good, when the enemy's coming with everything, how many know the enemy will come? Not with just a little. He's going to come with everything he's got. He's going to come when you're in your deepest, darkest valley. He's going to come when you're feeling your most pain. He's going to come when all hell's assailing against you. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You can't just have the Word of God today. You got to have the Spirit of the Lord giving you life and giving you freedom and giving you advancement in the kingdom of God. Life is good, church, when you find balance. Life is good because the truth helps you kill out the old man. How many know the Word of God trims the fat? Huh? Come on, when you take that brisket home, come on, most people will tell you got to trim a little bit of that fat off the bottom before you put that thing on the smoker. Ain't that right, Brother Doug? You got to trim, brother. Now, Brother Paul would argue with us about that, but we'll talk about that later. But anyway, you got to trim some of that fat. That's what the Word of God does. The Word of God is there to shape us. The Word of God is there to mold us. The Word of God is there to get rid of some stuff that ain't supposed to be there. The Word of God is to kill out the old man. That's what the Word of God is for. The Word of God is there to kill out the old man. But the Spirit of God makes us alive in Christ Jesus. The Spirit makes us alive. The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. It's the truth, church, that sets you free. But it's the Spirit that puts you in relationship with the Lord. Come on, you can read your Bible, and the Bible can tell you wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. It'll cause you to get rid of some stuff in your life. It'll cause you to cut some stuff out of your life. But let me tell you something. It takes the Spirit of God to put you in relationship with Him. It takes the Spirit of God to give you guidance, to lead you in the way that God would have you to go. The truth sets us free, but the Spirit puts us in relationship with the Lord. Let's look at what the Bible says about what saves us. Many people want to take one verse of Scripture and they think that one thing will save them. But James 1 and 21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. So you got to have the word of God. Come on, is this an apostolic church tonight? You got to have the word of God. You got to have the word of God. Receive ye with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Then Peter says in 1 Peter 3, even baptism doeth now save us. Acts 2 and 40 says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Many people say, well, separation don't save you. I beg to differ. You got to save yourself from this untoward generation. You got to come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. Acts 2 and 40, Titus 3 and 5 says, according to his mercy, he has saved us. You need the mercy of God. We're all sinners saved by grace. We all need the mercy of God, and none of us deserve the mercy of God tonight. All of us are fortunate to be in the house of the Lord this evening. All of us are fortunate to be walking with God this evening. We need the mercy of God in our life. It takes the mercy of God to save you. Matthew 10 and 22 says that he endureth to the end shall be saved. Oh, you got to endure to be saved. Come on, we got to endure to be saved. That won't get a whole lot of amens. But you got to endure to be saved. Matthew 10 and 20, Proverbs 28 and 18 says, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Oh, you got to walk uprightly before God. Yeah, you do. Whosoever walketh uprightly shall be saved. Luke 7 and 50 says, thy faith has saved thee. Acts 16 and 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So many people misinterpret this verse that all you have to do is believe. Can I tell you today, there are going to be a lot of people in hell that think all they had to do was believe. No, it takes a lot more. You got to endure to the end. You got to live for God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. You got to give God everything. You got to count on the mercy and the grace of God. You got to be buried with him in baptism. You got to raise with him in power. You got to have conviction that comes only from the preaching of God's word. And you got to have the plan of salvation in your life. Acts 16, believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Romans 10 and 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 8 and 24, for we are saved by hope. Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Romans 10 and 19, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So which one of these things saves me? They all do. They all do. We got to live for God. We got to find balance in God. We got to give ourselves to God. We got to have the word of God to trim us up and to shape us up and cut things out of our life. But we got to have the Spirit of God to give us life and to make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can't be a new creature in Christ Jesus without the Spirit of God. They all do. They all save you when you find balance in your walk with God. Listen, the truth can save you, but it's relationship that comes from being filled with the Spirit of God that keeps you. How many know when you first came into the church, you was excited, started reading your Bible, started coming to church, started shaving things out of your life. The more you started reading your Bible, the more you see this was wrong and that was wrong. Man, I shouldn't be doing it. The Lord's convicting me. The Lord's telling me. It takes the truth to trim you up. Huh? Come on, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing, piercing asunder to the marrow of the bone, the thoughts and the intents of the heart tonight. It takes the word of God to trim us up. But it takes the Spirit of God to put us in relationship with the Lord tonight. The ability to stay free depends on whether you're walking in relationship with the Lord. I couldn't tell you how many times, Brother Edwin, I've seen people come into the church. They're excited at first. Huh? They're excited at first. Man, the Word of God is speaking to them. They realize the Word of God's getting rid of some stuff in my life. But it's relationship that's going to keep you. It's relationship that's going to keep you in right standing with God. It's relationship that's going to hold on to you when times get tough. It's relationship that's going to keep you when the road gets rough. It's relationship that's going to keep you today. If you don't find balance in your walk with God, you're never going to make it. We got to find balance for our life in Christ to be wonderful and good. Every saint of God must find balance in the Lord tonight. The truth can save you. The truth can pull you out. But it's relationship that's going to keep you there. It's relationship that's going to keep you there. Listen, then there's the deed of being baptized into the body. Look, the preaching of God's word will bring conviction. How many remember that blessed day when you walked into a church for the first time and you heard God's word preached? And man, something just raised up inside you. My God, something was just pulling you. Something was just drawing, and you had goosebumps bigger than mothballs. You had stuff just raising. Your hair was standing up on the back of your neck, and you just knew, my God, I'm in the right place. There's something going on inside my mortal body. I feel the Lord in this place. You remember that day, that blessed day, that the Lord drawed you. He drawled you by the preaching of God's word, and conviction came into your life. And then there was that day somebody gave you a Bible study about being baptized. And then after you were baptized and you were buried with him in weakness, then there came the point of being filled with the Spirit and walking in relationship with God. We got to have a relationship with the Lord. And that's what we get when we're filled with his Spirit. We must be ye filled with the Spirit. If you're going to be in relationship with God tonight, you got to be filled with the Spirit. The preaching brings conviction. There's the deed of being baptized. There's relationship that only comes from the Spirit of God. It's the plan of salvation that Peter taught on the day of Pentecost. Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you something. If it was just God's mercy and God's grace that saved us, the whole world would be saved. There would be no lost, because he died for every one of us, Brother Joe. He gave himself for every. If it was all about just his mercy and his grace, there would be no loss. But the Bible says that hell is enlarging itself every single day. I come to tell somebody, God is a merciful God. But when you find balance in your life in Christ, you understand that that same merciful God is a jealous God. And he wants you to walk uprightly before him tonight. Hallelujah. It's not just about God's mercy and God's grace. Yes, we're saved by God's mercy and by God's grace. But we're also saved by being obedient. We're also saved by walking uprightly. We're also saved, and we stay saved by being in relationship with him. That's why we teach in this church, this altar is not just to get you saved. This altar is to keep you that way. Come on, this altar is to keep your relationship good with God. That's what this altar is about tonight. Hallelujah. The whole world would be saved if it was just all about mercy and grace. Stand with me tonight as the musicians come quickly. Freedom is to be saved from something. Liberty is to live or abide, Brother Don, in that freedom. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get that down in your spirit. Freedom is to be saved by something or from something. But liberty, Brother Doug, is to walk in that freedom. We're here tonight because God is good and a life in God is even better. Come on. We're here tonight because the Lord wants to touch us. The Lord wants to shape us. The Lord wants to mold us. Listen, life is not good because I'm somewhere half naked getting drunk at a Halloween party tonight. Life is not good because I got a gypsy bus with some flowers on it, and just because it's painted on the side that says life is good. Life is not good because I made $100,000 this year. Life is good because I got the Holy Ghost. Life is good because the Lord brought me out of sin and shame and redeemed me by His precious blood. And I got the boundary of the blood all around my life, all around my family, all around my finances, and all around my health. Life is good because the blood and the name of Jesus has been invoked into my life. Life is not good because of the things that happened in this world. People got this stuff so messed up. Come on. This is all temporal. This is all vanity. This does not make life good. What makes life good is knowing you're in relationship with the Lord tonight. What makes life good is knowing that while you're at work during the day, the blood of Jesus is covering your children. While you're at work during the day, the blood of Jesus is covering your home. While you're out doing what you're doing, the blood of Jesus is creating a boundary around your life. Life is good when you find balance in the Lord tonight. You can't just have the Bible. Somebody made an ignorant comment this week that said, "That's why I just quit going to church and I became the church." I'll get a little pastoral for a second. You can't become the church without going to the church. The Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together like as some folks do." No, if you're going to be the church, you got to go to the church, take part, and become baptized into the body of Christ. People got this stuff so messed up. People think the drunker they get, the better their life's going to be. The higher they get, the better their life's going to be. The more promotion they get on their job, the gooder life is. No, that don't make life good tonight. That don't make life good. There's none good but God. And you ain't ever going to have a life that's good unless you include God in your life tonight. And the only way you're going to do that is if you learn to have balance in your walk with God. You got to have the Word of God. You got to have the truth of God. But you got to have the Spirit of God to lead you and to guide you. Freedom is to be saved from something. But liberty is to abide in that freedom. We're blessed to live in a free country tonight. We're blessed that there were no guards, there were no military outside tonight trying to stop us from coming into the house of the Lord. There was nobody making sure that we weren't talking about the name of Jesus tonight. We are walking in liberty tonight in this country. Come on, to have freedom. Freedom is to be saved from something, but liberty is to walk in it and to abide in it. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. You cannot walk in the liberty of Jesus Christ without being filled with His Spirit. You need the Spirit of God in your life to lead you. The ability to stay free depends on the relationship that comes from being filled with the Spirit of God. It's like this, and I'm closing. If your house is on fire, Brother Paul, come up here for a second. If your house is on fire, Sister Melissa's in that fire. Brother Jason is a fireman. Brother Jason comes into the house. Brother Jason comes into the house. Brother Jason comes into the house. And he saves Sister Melissa and he pulls her from the fire and he brings her over here back into relationship and fellowship with her husband. She is now saved or freed, Brother Don, from the fire. But at any point in time, if she decides that her favorite pair of Nikes are worth going back into the fire over, she can lose that freedom. At some point in time, she has to make the decision. My relationship with my husband, we can live without those Nikes. I choose relationship over going back to where God brought me from. Come on. It's one thing to have the truth. It's one thing to read your Bible. It's one thing to be made free. It's one thing to be saved. But it's another thing to be in relationship with the Lord tonight. You got to choose Him. You got to choose liberty. You got to walk with Him and stay with Him and pray to Him and love Him and put Him above everything else in your life. It's one thing to be free. It's one thing that the Lord would save you and pull you out. But it's another thing whether you're going to decide to be in relationship with Him. We got to find balance, church. Life is good because His blood washed our sins away. Life is good because He gave Himself on Calvary's Hill, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Life is good because we've been filled with His Spirit. Life is good because we're in relationship with Him. Life is good because there's a boundary of the blood around our lives tonight. But it's up to us to keep that. It's up to us to protect that. It's up to us to secure that and to make sure that that does not get taken away from us. Nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand. But you can sure enough walk out of His hands. You can sure enough choose the fire. You can sure enough choose the things that the Lord saved you from. Or you can choose to find balance in your life and say, Lord, your word revealed some stuff to me. Your word trimmed some stuff off of me. Your word pulled me out of some stuff. Lord, your word set me free from some stuff. But I need balance in my life. I need relationship in my life. I need to know that you're a friend that will stick closer than a brother. I need to know that you'll go all the way with me even to the end. I need to be in relationship with the Lord tonight. Church, your relationship has to mean more to you than your fleshly desires do. Your relationship has to mean more to you than all the things of this world do. We got to find balance in our walk with God. It takes the word to trim us up. It takes the word to set us free. But there are people living right here in this country. They're free, but they don't appreciate their liberty. I watch it all the time in the church. I watch it all the time in the house of God. The Lord makes people free. The truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, my God, there's liberty. The ability to walk in freedom. The ability to enjoy freedom. The ability to enjoy life. The ability to see how good life really is when you find balance in the Lord. We're getting ready to sing this song. We're going to open these altars tonight. I wonder if you get out of your seat, walk to the front of this church, throw your hands in the air. Come on and just love Him today and just thank Him. Not just for freedom, not just for pulling you out, not just for setting you free, but for allowing you to walk in relationship in the liberty of God, where the Spirit of the Lord will lead you and guide you tonight. Life is good when you find balance in the Lord tonight. Let's love Him all over this place and give Him praise as we sing this.